Chelek Yud Gimel, Parshas Ba'aleischa, Sicha Aleph. This week's Sicha is a Rashi Sicha on Posuk Yud in Perek Yud that concludes the section in the Parsha that teaches us about the making and the use of trumpets in the desert. The trumpet blasts, long or short, were each specific to a particular instruction and, as the Rebbe will teach us, reflective of a very specific Avodas Hashem. In Pasuk Yud we read, Uviyem simchaschem uvemayadechem, on the days you rejoice, and on your festivals, uberoshei chodsheichem, and on the day you celebrate a new moon, uskatem bechatzotzreis, blow the trumpets, al aleiseichem, when bringing your burnt offerings, v'al zivchei shalmeichem, and when bringing your peace offerings, v'hoyu lochem lezichorin, lifnei Hashem leikechem, this will be a reminder before Hashem your God, ani Hashem eloikechem, I am your God. Rashi brings down the words, al eloisechem, when you bring your burnt offerings, and explains, bekorban sibur hakosav medaber. The verse is speaking about communal sacrifices. When do we blow the trumpets? When bringing communal sacrifices. The Rebbe presents several questions on the Rashi, beginning with how the Rashi is worded. It would seem, says the Rebbe, that just saying Bekorban Tzibur without the words Hakosov Medaber, the communal sacrifice, without adding the words, this is what the verse is talking about, would have been sufficient, and it would have been clear and understandable that even though it doesn't say al aleisechem v'goymer, on your burnt offerings v'goymer, etc., in other words, including a reference to the latter words in the verse, al aleisechem is nevertheless a general reference to all the sacrifices mentioned in the Pasuk, as they follow one upon the other, al aleisechem, v'al zivchei shalmeichem. Now, since this seems self-understood, we have to assume then that when Rashi adds the words hakosav medaber to the words korban sibur, that it is a communal sacrifice that the verse is speaking about, the words the verse is speaking about, that the sacrifices discussed in the verse are communal sacrifices, the addition of the words hakosov medaber are purposeful. And the question is, what in fact is the purpose of those seemingly excess words? A second question the Rebbe brings is, where does Rashi see in the words of the Pasuk that the Pasuk is talking about a Korban Tzibur and not about a Korban Yochid, about a communal sacrifice and not a sacrifice of the individual? There are Mefarshim like the Ram and the Gorariyeh who say that the proof that Rashi has is much like what is said in the Sifri and the Gemara. In Gemara Erchin, we learn that the Oila, the burnt offering, and the Shlomim, the peace offering, each serve as a directive for the other in terms of the set time to bring the offerings and whether or not they're accompanied by song, which excluded an offering that is not a Korban Tzibur, which is not a communal offering. From this comparison there, we can draw then a conclusion here. However, as mentioned many times, Rashi explains his drush according to what can be understood in the literal meaning of the Pasuk. If Rashi was in fact basing what he said on an external source, like the Gemara Erchin, where the comparisons are brought, then surely he would have made that clear, or at least alluded to the source, perhaps from the Sifri. Accordingly, we must say then, as Rashi makes no such reference, that Rashi's explanation is in fact to be found in the verse itself. The Rebbe continues the discussion, turning to the second Rashi on the words Ani Hashem Elokeichem, where Rashi explains that from these words we learn Malchies, Zichrones, and Shephres. The three different series of verses said on Rosh Hashanah. Rashi says, from Uskaten, we learn Shephres. From And You Shall Blow, we learn about Shephres. From Lizikaren, It Will Be a Remembrance, we learn Zichrones, about remembrances. And Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am your God, refers to Malchies, to the sovereignty. And here too, the Rebbe questions Rashi learning halachas from the pasuk beyond the objective of Rashi, which is to explain only the literal meaning of the words of the pasuk. Rashi only brings lessons in Razal as they're specifically relevant and necessary for understanding the literal intention of the pasuk. What is it here that is lacking in the literal meaning of the pasuk that would force Rashi to bring a lesson in halacha? And more than that, says the Rebbe, the literal understanding and intention of the words, Uskatem b'chatzotzreis, and you shall blow on the trumpets, v'hoyu lochem l'zikaron lifnei elokeichem, and it shall be a remembrance for you before God, is that there is a commandment to blow the trumpets so that we will be remembered before God. Rashi seems to interpret and explain these words differently and not according to their simple and literal intention, saying that uskatem, and you shall blow, refers to verses of Shephres, and zikaron refers to verses of remembrance. Regarding the last words of the verse, v'ani Hashem Elokeichem, Rashi has actually already explained previously in Parshas Va'era that the words Ani Hashem are understood to mean Ne'eman L'shalem Sachar Tov, that God will faithfully grant reward. And there in that source, Rashi further states, U'beloshein hazem otzinu shehu nidrash bekama mekaymes, that this explanation on this term is given for these words in several places. So why wouldn't Ani Hashem, explained as L'shalem Schar, that Hashem grants reward in Parshas Va'era, be explained in this way here too? Why does Rashi explain it differently? A. And B. Not at all according to Pshat, but rather as a halachic reference to the verses of kingship that we say on Rosh Hashanah. And with the words Mikan Lomadnu, Rashi suggests that this is actually the very meaning of the words Ani Hashem. Mikan Lomadnu, from here we learn, says Rashi. And from here we learn what seemed to suggest that this interpretation, this explanation, this halachic explanation that Rashi gives here, which veers away from the explanation of Ani Hashem as explained in Parshas Va'era to mean L'shalem Schar, that God is trustworthy to grant reward. Here Rashi takes it in a completely different direction and says Mikan Lamadnu, telling us that this is really supposed to be the actual meaning of these words, Ani Hashem. The Rebbe expands now on our previous question with the following. While Rashi brings down the words, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, in fact, Rashi also explains and expands on the words, Uskatem and Lizikaren, which come earlier in the verse, earlier to the words, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Uskatem b'chatzotzreis v'hoyo lechem Lizikaren. And only later do we have the words, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So either Rashi should have brought these words down as well, previous to the words Ani Hashem Elokeichem, because he will explain them, or Rashi should have brought them as an earlier and separate explanation. Rashi includes the words Uskatem and Lizikaren in his Rashi on Ani Hashem Elokeichem, but the words actually came earlier. So why is it that Rashi includes these words, doesn't refer to them separately, they came earlier than the words Ani Hashem Elokeichem, or bring them down as part of this explanation? The Rebbe now makes 3 points in regards to the way Rashi is phrased. And the Rebbe says, why doesn't Rashi, in our case, in explaining something in the Pasuk, according to Dirshas Razal, because it cannot be explained with a literal meaning of the verse, preface his explanation with the words, Dirshu Rabbeinu, our masters have taught, as he often does. A second point is that in the conclusion of the Rashi, Rashi adds the word v'chulu, to mean and so on. What is Rashi alluding to with these words, asks the Rebbe. Why does Rashi say and so on? Why doesn't Rashi mention what it is that the so on is? If it is relevant to his explanation, why not explain it? Explain the v'chulu. The third point that Rebbe makes. In Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Chav Dalet in Parshas Emor, the Pasuk speaks about Rosh Hashanah as a day of remembrance through the blasts of the Shofar. And the Pasuk reads, Zichrein Trua Mikra Kodesh. It is a holy time remembered by the Shofar blasts. Rashi explains Zichrein Trua, saying, what is Zichrein? Zichrein, says Rashi, is psuke zichreinis, verses of zichreinis, upsuke shofres, and verses of shofres, verses of remembrance, and verses dealing with the blowing of the shofar. But in our pasuk, in Parshas Baaleischa, in our pasuk, Rashi changes this and says, stam, that this is teaching us about Zichreinis and Shofres. There is no word verses. It doesn't say with psuke Zichreinis, verses of Zichreinis. Rashi Stam says it teaches us Zichreinis and Shofres. Why the change? Why the omission of the word verses? The Rebbe begins an explanation by suggesting that we need to first discuss an additional question. We've discussed many times that Rashi's method is to explain every and any concealed matter in Pshutei Shel Mikra. And if so, we must ask why Rashi, in our Pasuk, did not deal with the seemingly obvious question of the very first words of the Pasuk. What is Yom Simchaschem? The Pasuk begins with the words, Uviyom Simchaschem, on the day of your rejoicing. Now we know what Moyadechem is. This references the holidays. Rosh Chodeshechem, the day that we announce the new month. So what is Yom Simchaschem, which comes at the beginning of the Pasuk? And it comes with a Vav HaChibur to Uve Moyadechem. It comes with a Vav that connects it to the word Uve Moyadechem, creating a separation, so to speak, and a bond. So Yom Simchaschem must be one thing. Uve Mayadechem is another thing. So you cannot consider Yom Simchaschem as the day of your rejoicing to actually mean Yom Tiv. The Sifri explains of Yom Simchaschem Elu HaShabbosis, that these are the days of Shabbos. But first of all, why doesn't Rashi then explain this? And second of all, indeed Rashi cannot explain it as the Sifri does, because according to the literal understanding of Shabbos in Torah, and Rashi explains according to the literal meaning, Shabbos is not associated with Simcha. Yom Tov is associated with Simcha. And as it says regarding Yom Tov, V'samachta b'chagecha, rejoice on your festivals. And so, since Rashi doesn't explain Uviyom Simchaschem at all, it would seem that according to Rashi, these words are self-understood and don't require explanation. To explain this, says the Rebbe, let's look at Pasuk Tes, the Pasuk before the one that we are dealing with in our Sicha. Pasuk Tes reads in translation as follows. While in your land, if you go to war against an oppressor, blow a long blast, and you will be remembered before God and saved from your enemies. So Pasuk Yud, our Pasuk, which begins with the words Uviyom Simchaschem, and on the day of your rejoicing follows the victory from your enemies, for which you will rejoice and give praise to Hashem, as mentioned in Pasuk Tes. The Pasuk teaches us that in addition to blowing chatzitzreis in the face of an oppressor, in addition to blowing trumpets in the face of war, we should blow chatzitzreis in victory as well, and also on our festivals, and also on the bringing of specific sacrifices. Accordingly, says the Rebbe, we can understand why we would literally explain Eloi Seichem as communal sacrifices. This goes back to the beginning of Rashi, where Rashi says that the reference to Al Eloi Seichem means communal sacrifices. All the days and events in these verses are communal events. They do not affect individuals on their own, not the Yachid, but the Tzibur, which enables us to understand that references to sacrifices in these verses would be communal and not personal, which answers the earlier question of Hakosov Medaber. The question was that this is a reference, that this is the Rashi adds the words, this is what the Pasuk is talking about. So this is a reference to include the words Zivchei Shalmechem, the second category of korbanos that the Pasuk talks about. Al Eloi Seichem v'al Zivchei Shalmechem. So the Rebbe says, perhaps then, Hakosuv Medaber, what the Pasuk is talking about, the extra words, or what we thought were extra words in Rashi, are a reference to Zivchei Shalmechem within the discussion of communal events or the communal sacrifice. The Zivchei Shalmechem as well are communal sacrifices. Now, says the Rebbe, we can address the question of not explaining the words Ani Hashem Elokechem, which seem to require explanation. And as Rashi does in earlier sources, with the words in Parshas Va'era, Ne'emon L'shalem Schar, that Hashem is trustworthy to repay or to grant Schar, to grant reward. Now, there's no reason to explain Ani Hashem Elokechem as Ne'emon L'shalem Schar, that Hashem is trustworthy to grant reward, because we just spoke of reward in Pasuk Tes, in verse 9. The Torah says clearly, you'll blow the trumpets, v'niskartem lifnei Hashem, and you'll be reminded by God, and you'll be remembered before God, v'noshatem oyvechem, and you'll be saved from your enemies, the reward. And therefore, Rashi explains Ani Hashem Elokechem as he does with a halachic explanation referencing the malchios, the sovereignty expressed, and not a reward, as he mentions, or the trustworthiness of God to give reward, to grant reward, as he explains it in Va'era. And it is also why Rashi adds the words, Mikan Lomadnu, from here we learn. Because it's from here, and it's not like Parshas Va'era, from here what do we learn? Rashi isn't interrupting the words for, Rashi isn't interpreting the words for us. Rashi's explaining the words, Ani Hashem Elokechem. And how is he explaining it? Rashi is teaching us a lesson to be learned from these words. In fact, a halachic lesson. And so therefore, Rashi continues his explanation saying, Malchies with Zichreines and Shefres. Rashi isn't teaching us, in fact, about the verses that we say, but rather that the addition of the extra words, Ani Hashem Elokechem, at the end of the Pasuk, which seems superfluous because they seem tacked on. We know this is how we finish the verse, Ani Hashem. So what are these words, in fact? Rashi is teaching us that when there are words or the concept of Shefres in a Pasuk, And when is there is the concept of zichroinos in a pasuk, we must join these things to the concept of malchies. When we speak of remembrance and blowing, this comes along with the association of malchies. What does this mean? Since in our pasuk it says uskatem, and you shall blow, we have the idea of shofaros, the concept of blowing, via the tekiya. In the word lizikaron, there is the idea, the concept of zichrones, being remembered before God. The addition, says Rashi, of Ani Hashem Elokeichem is malchies. And so too Rashi is teaching us. Each time there is this concept, the idea of zichrones, and then shofaros, literally, as in our pasuk, or when we actually say the psukim on Rosh Hashanah, malchies, the idea of, or the verses of sovereignty or kingship, must be associated to the other two concepts. Therefore, to respond to the earlier question as to why does Rashi seem to change from the way he speaks about verses of zichrones and verses of shofaros in Parshas Emor, the answer is because in our discussion in our pasuk in Bahalaischa, Rashi is not speaking about the verses, but rather about the literal association of these three themes. To explain this in a slightly different style, the Rebbe says, according to Rashi, notwithstanding the commentary, the pasuk is to be understood literally, and is, and therefore requires no further explanation, just as Rashi doesn't explain the words in the previous verse. In the previous verse it says, V'harayosem b'chatzoitzreis, you will blow the trumpets, and you'll be remembered by God, and you'll be saved from your enemies. But the addition of the words Ani Hashem Elokeichem here are puzzling, and therefore Rashi says, Mikan lomadnu v'chulu, that there's a halachic lesson here to be learned from this. Here, the Rebbe introduces the possibility of an astute student who may question the order of how Rashi seems to change shofaros and zichrones in malchies, or malchies, zichrones, and shofaros. Switching the shofaros, zichrones, switching to shofaros and zichrones in Rashi's commentary, concluding with malchies. This, says the Rebbe, is the intention of the word v'chulu, and so on. The word v'chulu is a reference to the explanation of the Sifri, who explains the Chazal bringing the order of Malchies first, then Zichrones, and then Shofres, in order to teach us, first accept the sovereignty of God, then turn to Him and ask for mercy, and He will remember you and have mercy through the blast of the Shofar. So when Rashi brings the law of the Chachamim, he brings it in the order of what they are teaching, indicating this with the word v'chulu and so on. Looking at this order of malchies, zichrones, and shofres through the lens of Chassidus, it's explained in the Siddur of the Arizal, in the Musaf Davening, as well as in the sources, other sources, including Or HaTorah from the Tzemach Tzedek on the Mamorim of Rosh Hashanah, and I believe the Arizal reference in the Siddur is as well the Musaf Davening on Rosh Hashanah, that Tkiyas, that the blows of the Shofar open the pathway to our relationship with Hashem via the Sefiros. The Tkiyas open the pathways of our relationship via the sphera of Bina. The Zichrones, Excuse me, let's do that again. The Shofreis open the pathway to our relationship with Hashem via the Sphira of Bina. The Zichronis open the pathway of our relationship with Hashem via the Sphirais of Zah, of Zer Anpin. And Malchios open the pathway of the Sphira, of the pathway to Hashem of the Sphira of Malchus. So in Torah, which is given by God and descends below, the order is from higher to lower. Shofreis, the pathway of Bina, Bina being, so to speak, a higher Sphira. Then Zichronis, the pathway of the Sphirais of Zah. And then Malchios, the Sphira of Malchus, which is, so to speak, the lowest. But when it comes to the order of man's service to God, the Avodah begins at the lowest point, at the point of Malchus, and then rises level after level until Bina. And thus there the order is the order of Malchios, Zichronis, and Shofreis. To understand this all in the context of man's spiritual service, the Rebbe explains, the words in Pasuk Tes, Ki savoyu milchama, if you go to war, hints, says the Rebbe, to an ongoing battle with one's evil inclination, which is always hatzar hatzayr eschem, the enemy that oppresses you. And there is no other oppressor like the Yetzer Hara, particularly, says the Rebbe, during the time of prayer. The time of prayer, says the Hashalah HaKadosh, is a time of war, and it is particularly then that the Yetzer Hara comes to disturb you and confuse your thinking. And so the Pasuk teaches us the Eitzah, the solution to achieving victory. What is that solution? Blow on the trumpets. What is a trumpet blast in man's divine service? It's a broken and lowly heart that appeals and begs before the Eibishter to have mercy. As the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, Perek Chof Ches, upon him, upon his soul, and to save it from turbulent waters, in other words, thoughts that disturb his soul. And thereby, v'niskartem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem v'nayshatem oyeveichem, you will be remembered before God and saved from your enemies. Perhaps a person might think that this kind of avodah is relevant exclusively when the Yetzer Hara is at its strongest. But once the battle is won and one is victorious, he can resort to serving God in a logical and clear-minded fashion, and the bittul and submission are no longer necessary. Thus the pasuk comes to tell us, uv'yom simchaschem, on the day of your rejoicing, rejoicing because you had a victory. And when you're sacrificing a carbon to God, you're in a state of closeness. You don't feel this heaviness, this distance. Blast the trumpet. Experience the broken heart and the humility and the submission in that closest moment. The karbonis and the order of the karbonis in the pasuk speak to yet another aspect of this avodah. When you bring burnt offerings, al Eloi Seichem, and then al Zivchei Shalmeichem. First, you bring a carbon oila, a sacrifice that is completely burnt up on the altar. One's entire avodah should be given over to God. Total bittul, total nullification in all respects. And only after that does one bring a shlamim, a peace offering. One's level of service that stems from the wholeness of one's understanding and logic. The Rebbe expands this further and says, the carbon oila, the burnt offering, represents the avodah of tefillah. When man rises upwards and cleaves to God, the shlamim, whose owners consume the meat, unlike the oila, which is completely consumed in fire, is like the service of man when he fulfills the necessary mundane tasks of his life throughout the day. When all his deeds must be l'shem shamayim, he yet brings the sacrifice of l'shem shamayim, and b'chol drachecha da'ehu, knowing God in all his ways and doings. The pasuk hints to the ayla brought before the shlamim, for in fact man may not engage in mundane things like work until, says the Rebbe, he has davened. And Rashi brings emphasis, concludes the Rebbe, to this idea by saying, "Bekarban sibur hakosav medaber." The verse is speaking about a communal sacrifice. Why? For man's service of prayer, in bittul and submission, but on his own, is not sufficient. Rather, he must include himself in a tzibur, in a community. As tfilas harabim, he ritsuyim yaser lifnei hamakim. As the Rebbe concludes with these words, God's desire lies in the prayer of the rabim, in the prayers of many. There is no question that the conclusion of this sicha brings us to a point of longing. If indeed, and indeed, it is so, that the Eibishter desires the prayers of the many, the end of this sicha can only bring us to a stronger sense of longing, and that in itself, right now, is an avoda, the longing to once again bring the karban oila, and bring the karban shlamim, to be able to dedicate ourselves with hachna'a, with nullification, in prayer before God, not, however, on our own, but together as a tzibur, and may we merit once again quickly to bring this pleasure to the Eibishter.